Workday Playday peeps. Welcome back to the show. I am Erin Deal. You are listening to Workday Playdate with Improve It. And as you know, I'm your host, your improv nerd, your leadership coach, your culture cultivator, and the friend who loves you enough to tell you the honest truth. Today's episode is called How Not to Suck at Being a Boss. Just, you know, blunt, right out there. Is it bold? Yes. Is it necessary? Also, yes. So before we dive in today, my peeps, and if you are new to the community, I just want to welcome you. We have such an amazing community of people leaders here that are going to welcome you with open arms. But before we jump in, I want to ask a quick peep-to-peep favor. If this show has ever made you laugh, it's ever made you think, it's ever made you reflect or say, oh, dang, that's me, girl, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. Truly, when you leave a review, a real team of humans does a happy dance. It takes 30 seconds. It costs $0. And it really helps others, leaders find this show. And truly, if you write a comment with a question or just something you want to hear more of, we listen and pay attention to every single one. So I wanted to say that on the upfront, I haven't asked for a review in a long, long time on this show. And I, even as a podcast connoisseur, as a listener of shows, don't usually take the time to leave reviews, but I can tell you sitting in this seat, we have gone from number 9 on top 100 self-leadership podcasts to number 6. And we are constantly climbing the career charts in the U.S. And how we continue to do that is through your reviews. So please help us. We have so much magic we want to bring to the world. That is my plea. But now let's get back to the show. Thank you so much. You know, that's a broken record as a podcast host. You have to say that. But I truly want you to know it means so much when you do. So let's get back into it. How to not suck at being a boss. So here's what happens when you are leading a team and you aren't intentional and you're just reactive. Okay. You don't magically become a good leader because somebody gives you a title. That just isn't how it happens. You just become louder. When leaders aren't intentional, they lead in reactivity mode. They're reacting to emails. They're reacting to Slacks. They're reacting to missed deadlines. They're reacting to pressure from above. They're reacting to their own stress. They're reacting to client stress. Like the reaction is so real. And reaction-based leadership looks like snapping at somebody instead of listening. It looks like avoiding instead of addressing. It looks like micromanaging instead of trusting. And it looks like I'm just busy instead of I'm so present. It really is such a difference. And from an improv lens, that's called blocking the scene, okay? So in improv, when you react instead of respond in an authentic way, the entire scene dies. So if I'm in an improv scene and instead of responding by what we call yes-anding my scene partner, and I'm just like, oh, and I react in a snappy, snippy way that negates my scene partner, it's going to stall the scene. The audience is going to feel weird. The scene partner is going to feel weird. And you as a performer are going to feel weird. So the same thing happens at work and in our leadership roles. Unintentional leadership creates confusion. It creates emotional whiplash. It creates burnout. It creates teams who quietly start scrolling LinkedIn, looking for that next opportunity. You're not a bad person when you react, because we all do. Let me just preface that. I've reacted. I'm not sitting here in my perfect seat with my toy poodle Big Deal behind me in my cushy chair preaching this like I've never done it. I have 1,000% done it, wrote in the book, got in the t-shirt, and now have the microphone to tell you about it. Like, that's where we're at. So I just want to reframe that and remind you that you are not a bad person when these things happen. You're literally just being a human, number one, but you're on autopilot. In autopilot leadership, my peeps, that is where bosses start to suck. So here's what happens when you lead from intention instead of reactivity. Here's the glow up moment, okay? When leaders lead with intention instead of reaction, trust increases, communication improves, teams feel so safe when they speak up, creativity comes back, retention improves, and you, my friend, the leader, enjoy your job more. And that's what we're here to do. This is called Workday Playdate. We're going to make work suck less, and we're going to have more fun while we're doing it. So intentional leaders pause before they respond. Intentional leaders name expectations clearly. Intentional leaders own their own energy. They also admit when they miss or they don't know. And intentional leaders, in this world of AI, they lead like humans, not robots. So here's an improv truth bomb for you. The best scenes aren't controlled, they're connected. On an improv stage, when you see two improvisers connecting in real time and responding authentically to each other's ideas, it's so magical to watch. I've sat in audiences before I understood how improv worked and thought, that was script. There's no way they just came up with that on the spot. But as a trained improviser, I know that that is very much created right then, right there, and it will never be created again. So the same is true for leadership. When you choose intention, your leadership becomes a place where people want to stay, not escape from. Okay, my peeps, I hope you're enjoying the show. Before we get into it, let's take a quick break from our sponsors. Thank you for supporting those who support the show. You're listening to Workday Playdate on the Passion Struck Network. Let's get back to the show. Okay, peeps, so let's get into it. Here's your 5-step framework for how to not suck at being a boss. All right, there's just like not a better way to say that, just how not to suck. So 5 steps, write them down, put them in the notes section of your phone. If you're driving, just remember them and come back to the show notes later, okay? But I really want you to be intentional with this time because I promise you these 5 steps will change how you lead. Step one. Check your energy before you check your team. You know that song, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Check yourself before you wreck themselves, okay? Because your mood enters the room before your words do. In the book I wrote, I See You, A Leader's Guide to Energizing Your Team Through Radical Empathy, I talk about a character named Upset You, okay? Literally Upset You. And Upset You is just a hot mess, okay? Upset You gets up late with their alarm and then races around their house looking for the most perfect pair of socks that are definitely in the bottom of their cluttered drawer. They squirt toothpaste all over the counter while they're brushing their teeth. When they finally get out the door, they run down to the 151 bus because they're a commuter, and they stand on that bus with their hand up, holding on for dear life while staring directly in the armpit of a stranger while literally fumbling with their iPhone in the other hand because honestly, it's awkward to make best practices, or it is a best practice, I should say, to not make direct eye contact with somebody else's armpit. And then when they finally get to work, they race downstairs and they go to their local barista where they get a cup of Joe, and then they race to their desk to pray that their coworkers don't notice that they are indeed 15 minutes late. Again, I love that when somebody's late with a Starbucks cup, it's the best thing ever. Then they open their email. The first thing they see is an email from a vendor, and they angrily reply because guess what? They did not ask to be sold to today. After that, they pick up one of 7 post-it notes that they left on their desk from the day before and aimlessly start a task because they have no formal plan or thought to their day. And then after this, Upset You lays their head on their keyboard and sighs and cries because this is their day, day after day after day. So let me ask you this. I know this is a hypothetical story, but did you relate to any one of those scenarios of upset you? And most people can, because my friends, we are all human beings. We're all souls in these bodies having a human experience. It's the real truth. So when this happens, we are in fight or flight mode. We are showing up to our team with a lot of frenetic, holding your fist and grunting your teeth energy. Our team feels it the moment we walk in the room. And I want to let you know a little secret. Upset You is a true story. It is mine. And it is how I started every single day as a new business owner. It's how I walked in our lower level, not to be confused with basement office in downtown Chicago, and greeted my team at the beginning of my entrepreneurial career as a leader, because I did not check my energy before walking through a door. It was rushed. It was stressful for no reason. It was fast-paced. It was not enough time, not enough, not enough, not enough. It was scarce. So here's what I want you to do to beat the upset energy blues. I want you to ask yourself, am I rushed? Am I resentful? Am I distracted? And set the emotional temperature for your scene into the office. Now, maybe it's you work from home, as I do and my team does. And I'm going to tell you something. Literally, I changed my whole life. We have so many episodes of the show about morning routines, by giving myself a morning routine that is super mindful and conscious of how I show up to this team. Now, how I show up is different than years ago when we were in the office together. I show up on Slack, but I'm going to tell you something. If I show up in a mood, guess what's going to happen for the energy of the team? They're going to feel that. The energy, what you bring as the leader to your team, sets the tone for the day, period. I'm literally not even joking with you. I want you to close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to picture a leader. Maybe at this point in your career, it's a coach or a teacher or a mentor that you've known that has the same energy as upset you. They walk in holding their laptop, talking on a phone, sit down, close the door, slam the door. Their footsteps are fierce. They've got an agenda, a hot coffee, and they are going to seize the day. Now, if you're not driving, keep your eyes closed. I want you to think of a leader you've had that's the opposite of upset you. I'm going to call them upward you, y'all, okay? And think about how that leader entered the room or entered the Zoom or entered the Slack or the Teams channel. Because I'm going to tell you something. That leader is conscious and intentional about how they present themselves. They walk in the office with a smile. They greet everyone as they come in. They say hi to a couple people as they fill their water bottle. They sit down with grace and ease, or they come into the morning huddle on Zoom, playing some fun music, setting the tone for the team for the day, and really releasing anything that is not serving them before they've joined that conversation. Who's the leader you want to be led by? Upset you or upward you? I want you to think about that. But your energy is step one. Step one, check your energy before you check your team. All right, let's get on to step number two. All right. Okay, step number two, y'all. This is a huge tenet of improvisation. Listen to understand, not to fix. Ooh, I'm going to take this one personally, truly. Okay. Y'all, my dog, Big Deal, is entering the scene. He's sitting on my lap. So if you're watching any recording of this, you may see a little furry head. And if not, you can picture a cute little 8-pound toy poodle named Big Deal, who's blind, laying on my lap. But let's get back into it. Step two, listen to understand, not to fix. This took me, 43 years of my life to get to. So my whole life. Your team doesn't always want solutions. You know what they really want? To be heard. I can't tell you how many times I've listened and then tried to counsel one of our team members. We have this awesome activity in our effective communication workshop called negative listening patterns. And one of the negative listening patterns is that you're called a counsel. So you listen, but you listen trying to listen to give advice as the response and giving that free 99 advice that the person did not ask for. I do that a lot. And truthfully, I'm going to tell you what feels so good. Number one, recognizing it. Number two, releasing it, because it is not my job to fix other people's problems. It is not my job. My job is to let them feel heard and loved, not to fix. So try this sentence, okay? If you're getting something, you know, coming at you, whether it's from a team member, whether it's from your boss, we're talking about you leading a team here though. So if somebody on your team gives you a problem with no solution, or maybe it's a personal problem, try this sentence. Tell me more. Tell me more. That is it. That is the leadership cheat code, y'all. Tell me more. I actually use this with my son a lot. He's 6. And he'll come to me with something that might have happened with a friend at school. And I'm just trying to want to know more information. Tell me more. It's I'm hearing you and I'm still listening is what that says. So try that and let me know how it goes. I'm telling you, this one is so easy to implement, so easily also forgotten. Okay, step number 3. Set expectations out loud. I know this is crazy. Let me just say this. Brené Brown has a quote that I absolutely love. Clear is kind. Clear is kind. Because most conflict is unmet expectations that no one ever stated, okay? Literally, my team member and I just had this conversation the other day. We were noticing something happening with one of our, you know, partners, and we talked about it, and then we realized, you know what? We never set the expectation. How could they know what the expectation was if we never set it? What is the expectation? Do we even know? Are we reacting off of a feeling? Setting expectations up front. Sometimes, most definitely all the time, if you can't put it in writing, is truly going to save you so much time in the long run. So be clear, be kind, be human. Clarity also gives people confidence. They know, okay, this is the expectation. Can I meet it? Can I exceed it? It lets people know there's a threshold. And it's also a boundary. So say expectations out loud. I promise you, this will be a game changer in your leadership toolkit. All right, step number 4. All right, we're playing on this play date with celebration. I want you to celebrate effort, not just outcomes, okay? If you only praise results, people stop taking risks. So I want you to call out when somebody does something courageous on your team. I want you to call out when there's growth on your team. I want you to call out when somebody is trying. I want you to call out when somebody is learning. That is how you build psychological safety. Literally, we just had these two new amazing people experience partners join our team at the end of 2025. And there was so much learning, so much onboarding, so many things we had to teach them about our culture, about our offerings, our services. And every single day we celebrated. We celebrated what they learned, and that made them motivated to do more. I got to tell you, that brought me so much joy, because in that celebration, here's a fun little tangent for you. In those 2 weeks, we were getting to know each other. You know, their names are Sang and Lauren. So if you've talked to Sang or Lauren, they are absolutely incredible individuals who were guided here, honestly, to improve it, to help us bring more joy to work. And they are people experience partners. They help our partners experience what we do. And their love of people is so evident. So we're getting them in this onboarding. It's a 2-week process at the very end of 2025, December 2025. First week, we're giving them all kinds of information, but you could feel the connection because we're really working with them 8 hours a day, 4 days a week. And the next week, we get on a Zoom call. And because I feel like we had given so much celebration towards their learning efforts the week before, Sang came up with an idea to prank me with our team. Now, let me just say this. I love a good prank. Teasing is my love language. If someone in my family is super nice to me, meaning my mom or dad or brother, it's actually like kind of weird for me. And I know that sounds weird because I'm a very positive person, but how I show love is through harmless teasing, not making fun of somebody, laughing with them. So they did, this is a TikTok trend if you've seen it. We're all on Zoom and they all start drinking out of different water cups, but it's anything but a water cup. So they're drinking out of like vases, and one of them has like a tiny little shot glass, and then Sang comes with a giant bucket and I'm like, what is happening? And I start dying laughing, and they videoed this whole thing. So it was hilarious. It is on our Instagram. It's on my Instagram at It's Erin Deal if you want to check it out. But number one, first of all, I love a good prank. Number two, it gave me so much joy that in week two, after 1 week of us spending time together, that there was enough psychological safety there to feel like that was okay. That was actually the biggest win of all for me. And then, you know, I'm a prankster myself. So at their graduation from onboarding, we actually tried to prank Sang and Lauren by doing like, there's another, you can Google all these pranks you can do, harmless pranks on Zoom. But we started putting on different articles of clothing and just weird objects. And then the thing is, they were such yes-anders, they just started joining in and joining us with props. And by the end, we're just all laughing hysterically. It was awesome. So that to me, right there, celebration, not just the outcome of a big win or a revenue generated or hitting a goal or a KPI, but just celebrating the everyday moments. Ah, it makes it so much more joyful. It's so much more fun. So that's number four. And here is number five. Lead yourself first. Your leadership ceiling is your self-awareness. I want you to take time to rest. I want you to take time to reflect. I want you to own your mistakes and apologize when needed. The best bosses are not perfect. And as I told you here earlier, I mean, I am sitting here as a fail-fluencer, okay? Because truly, I have made every mistake in the book. I have a friend of mine who mentioned, she's like, you just search, you know a lot of stuff about business. And I'm like, dude, I've been doing this for 11 plus years. I've made every mistake in the book, literally wrote a book about it, have a keynote called F Words at Work, which is all about failure. And I admit it. I own it. I have made mistake after mistake after mistake. But the most important thing is that I'm learning from those lessons. And then guess what I'm doing with those lessons? I'm teaching you, my peep. So remember that. If you've made a mistake recently, I want you to know you're 1,000% not alone. Even the most perfect person has cobwebs and stories that you don't know. And I'm going to tell you, if they look perfect, they're hiding something, okay? They are hiding it. Because people are human. We're supposed to be here to make mistakes, to learn lessons, to grow. So don't try to be perfect. Just try to be present and lead yourself first. Okay. I want to pause really quick because this matters. At Improve It, we believe leadership is not about titles. It's about actions. And the magical pill that keeps teams engaged, retained, and excited to show up is, drumroll, you. Also known as positive relational energy. Now, research shows leaders with positive energy create higher engagement, lower turnover, stronger well-being across teams. And in our empathetic leader keynote, I am going to blend improv, movement, science, and self-awareness to help leaders build empathy, self-love, and inner alignment. Now, this highly interactive one-hour keynote is designed for large groups and conferences and are going to help your team understand their thoughts and how they become words, understand how words shape energy, and understand how energy shapes culture. I want you to be ready for your body to start a movement of positivity because we are going to use movement to create that movement. And if you want a culture rooted in abundance, not scarcity, this is the session for you. Reach out to myself and team at learntoimproveit.com. That's learntoimproveit.com. Now, let's get back to our play date. I'm going to give you what we're calling the playdate practice, okay? This is your homework. Here are the 5 steps of how not to suck at being a boss. Number 1, check your energy. Number 2, listen deeply. Number 3, name expectations. Number 4, celebrate your effort. Number 5, lead yourself first. The playdate practice this week is called the Yes and Check-In. So in your next team interaction, I want you to listen fully, be fully present, as we talked about. Acknowledge what you hear by saying, tell me more, and then add support instead of correction, all right? Not trying to fix. So it could look like this, okay? You hear the problem. I understand. Okay, tell me more. They tell you more. Yes, oh, I hear you. And here's how I can support you through this. I want you to try it. Do it once. Notice the shift because leadership is a practice, not a performance. And remember, let me add one more P. You don't have to be perfect. So my peep, that is a wrap on how not to suck at being a boss. If this episode helped you lead with more intention, more empathy, and less eye twitching, please consider leaving us that review on Apple Podcasts. Your review helps the show grow and helps more leaders stop sucking. And I say that with love. So until next time, I want you to play more, lead better, and remember, you don't have to be perfect to be powerful. I'll see you on the next play date.